Well, okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to a little change in what we're doing. We're going to have quite a few changes and some new things coming up for you on as this year begins. This is a program, The Science of Triangles, which I think is even not occurring at the right time, but it's occurring when it's occurring right now. And tomorrow morning we will have Identify as Being. Now, Science of Triangles here is occurring on Zoom. It will no longer be occurring on GoToWebinar. We're trying to get our GoToWebinar programs more consolidated on Zoom. And so this is our first attempt right now, and glad to see you here. Let's see here. Who do we have welcoming you? Michael Crow, who's helping us, and BL, who's helping us both as host or co-host, and Tuya, also a co-host. And then there, welcome to Ann and to Brennan, and to Catherine, and to Fred, Georgie, and to Joe. We have a lot of Joes, but this is Joe Garso. Hi, Joe. And Johee from Korea, welcome. And Karen, one of the Karens, either Karen Gritzker or Johansson. Not sure, but welcome Mariana and Mart and Martine and Miro. Welcome. And Risto, hi. And this is Satumaryutarnio. That's going to be a Finnish name. And welcome to you, Vivienne, Winnie, Zenaide, and Zim can be here as an interpreter if you wish, or just welcome. So I know other people will join us, but I try to welcome you all at the beginning, you know. Well, I can't say that we're reaching the end of the Science of Triangles. What we are doing, however, is we are reaching the point where the 100 or so pages from esoteric astrology have been almost completed. Of course, we could start from the beginning and, you know, assume we had absorbed maybe 5%. But there are other things to do. And let's see, Tuya, we'll be doing Science of Triangles 2 times a month. And then what is the other thing that is being substituted, the new program, 2 times a month? If you're there, you can let us know. But we have programs coming up, you know, on helping the animal kingdom. Let's see. Gosh.
Michael, did you want something from me?
Yes, I wanted to know what our substitute is for the Science of Triangles. We're going to do that 2 times a month instead of every week. And what is the other, what are the other types of programs? Do you remember? Anyway, I just wanted to acquaint people with our new types of programs that we'll be offering.
Isn't it the program on the animals?
Yeah, we have. Is that the one then, BL? The program on the animal kingdom, and that's probably it. And let's see, or maybe BL, do you have a list of these new ones, or I'm not sure that Tuya has sent them out.
I do have a list. I'm not sure I have a lot of information on him, but let me see.
Yes. Environment. Environment is another one.
So Wednesday, we alternate between Science of Triangles and the Animal Kingdom. And then on Thursday, you alternate between Identify as Being and the Angels.
The Angel Kingdom. Yes, that's it. Okay. No wonder I couldn't think of it.
No.
Dear? Yeah.
Oh, it is ROC alternating with Angels.
What is LOC?
And as Being with Shambhala.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'll tell you what. I won't get into it too extensively right now. Suffice it to say, we have some new offerings coming for you, and we will let you know when they pop up, okay, when they occur. Now, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to continue where we left off about a month ago, you know, before, and it's not over yet, before all of the commotion and severe difficulties began in the United States with that wave of lies and misrepresentations and the attempt to literally to steal the vote, but not as it has been discussed. If you join us at 8 o'clock, and it's going to also be a, you know, the usual Zoom vigil. We'll be using Great Invocation number 2, and we'll continue our vigil work in an increasingly dangerous time. I guess I don't have to tell you about that. You, by now, if you've been attending any of our programs, you know, and if you've been just reading a reliable news source, you know. So right now, excuse me, we'll get into the Tibetans' last little bit. Yes, and let me just see something. You know, I would like to, I want to show you something. It came up last night. It's a photograph of the Tibetan, and of course, the painted image from the photograph has been, we've been using it for a long time, and probably you have too. But I just want to point this out. This is a wonderful image, and one of our German friends, apparently I'm trying to talk with her, was in the Rurik Museum, and this is listed as given as Joao Kuhl, and it's the same image as we have been using in a painted form. So sometimes it helps. The real individual, of course, is much different than the physical form, but this can be, you can have this photograph, and I don't have the link for it right now, but there'll be some, we will make the link available. And this is a pretty well identical to the painted image that we've been using for years. And we'll try to find out any story around it. It apparently was taken in Tibet in the year 1928 and listed in the Rurik Museum as Joao Kuhl. So I find it, you know, maybe I'm too literal, but just the way the image of Master Moria and Master K.H. exist, I think, as kind of an impression that they put upon a painter by the name of Hermann Schleiermacher. I think his last name was Schleiermacher. It kind of means the maker of veils, interestingly enough. just the way that can help certain people tune in with the vibration of the master maybe this will be helpful also. And here in the chat, there is the link. And from Tiu, okay, excellent. Thank you, Tiu, for bringing that in. A new master schedule is coming. And and you can just read the chat about what will be substituted for what. We're going to be doing some alternating, and there'll be a wide variety of offerings for you and for us to think about. And since these are going to be on Zoom, I believe they will be on Zoom. Correct, Tuya? Are you there? If they are on Zoom, we'll be able to...
Some of them are on Zoom, and mm-hmm. some of them are just normal broadcasts. But those with our meditations, they are on broadcast, and then those where we are discussing, they are then in Zoom.
Okay, very good, because Zoom lends itself to discussion, and broadcasting is simply for meditative purposes. So there you can copy to you in Estonia has given that to us, and there we go. All right, now I'll get on with the work of today. And read some of the Tibetans' more final words on these matters. And then if we get that far, I have some questions for you. You know, don't you like tests and just to show whether you have absorbed anything during this past year? Well, don't be worried about it. I want us to be able to apply our information somehow. And I have some questions to help us do that. But right now I want to increase the just take me a second here. Hopefully. All right. So he says, and let's keep, for the moment, we'll keep our mute on, you know, and then later when you want to say something, you can do that or you can write it in the chat box. So make sure, Vivian, you have, let's see, let's make sure we have our mute where it belongs. Okay. Now, in the latter part of this century, which would be the 20th century, and I'll bet you might be having a little trouble seeing how big it all is, so I'm going to make things just a little bit bigger. Okay. In the latter part of this century, what I have given to you will be demonstrated to be true. This will happen where disciples, highly developed aspirants and initiates are concerned. Now, we hope to be disciples here, or highly developed aspirants, and maybe when, you know, having worked with, excuse me, esoteric astrology, we have learned to trust and have recognized the validity of what the Tibetan has said. I know that when I look at the charts of people who are on the spiritual path, I just know these esoteric rulers do work. Maybe there are, you know, fewer that I could say that I've encountered who are confirmed initiates and do the hierarchical rulers' work. That will be a less frequent occurrence, I would say. But where it comes to people who aspire, who are definitely on the spiritual path, to those who are committed disciples, I think we have confirmed that it is the case, that he's offered us something quite amazing and true. But this is not so, you know. It takes a long time before the strictly exoteric astrologers believe any of this material. And sometimes more lately, at the conferences of exoteric astrologers, there's a little section or little presentations that are allowed on the DK astrology. So slowly it's making its way into the mainstream. The old exoteric astrology, he says, will still persist and prove its usefulness where the average man is in question, focused in his personality life and oriented towards the material world. I suppose there are even aspects of our own nature which are that way. And, you know, for myself, I've always said, look, if you want to be a really good esoteric astrologer, and I'm not yet sure what that means, but we'll know within 100 years, you should be able to handle exoteric astrology as well. And without getting buried by it, of course. And I trust that those of you who have studied astrology know the value of the ordinary rulers, because we do all have a personality life and we do subside into it. You know, you'll know when you do charts for people, and if the esoteric rulers and the higher interpretations are not working, you'll just know that you have overestimated the case and have to stick to the more normal type of rulerships. But basically, DK has told us that when we move towards esoteric rulerships, we take the exoteric rulerships along with us. We do not entirely discount them. I mean, you know, most Aries people have a lot of Mars. And if they've moved into the Mercurian type of expression, the Mars may have subsided, but it's still there. So we want to be appropriate, and we want to help the people that come to us for some kind of guidance, and perhaps we can help them bridge towards something a little higher. Much progress towards right understanding of astrology will come later when certain new meditations on the 12 signs of the zodiac are made available. And I've estimated that perhaps out there, maybe a few of them have been published. But I do anticipate that as of 2025, more of them are to come. And these are not really in our possession unless they were given to some disciples to peruse and to possibly utilize in a preliminary manner. I have not found them. And I am patient because there's so much to learn just from what is given. You know, there's a lot of us who wonder, well, what was left out? What do those three dots stand for? Why didn't the Tibetan publish certain sentences which we know have been extracted? I'm simply leaving it to him and to Alice Bailey about the wisdom of inclusion or non-inclusion. Because I say to myself, if I can absorb 5% of what has been given already, I think I'm doing okay. So we can spend a lot of time chasing after missing. We imagine that they are keys when the keys are right in front of us. So this is written, you know, in the 1930s and 40s, when the world again settles down to calmer living, and have we done that? And conditions are adjusted to a more stable rhythm, you know, from rajas to sattva, a more sattvic way of life. Let's see if I can get this in here. More sattvic way of living. These new meditations can form a potent source of usefulness in, now notice this phrase, brightening the web of life. And I suppose that means our etheric vehicle particularly, and the kinds of energies which can course through our etheric vehicle, which are so often blocked by the etheric veils of impulsion, distortion, and separation, as well as even aspiration. So we certainly have to clean up the ethers as one of our preliminary tasks, and then higher methods can be utilized to summon energies which we have not yet been able to use to full extent. And this we have to look forward to in an age of Aquarius, including Gemini, air signs, you see, which have so much to do with the condition of the etheric body. So they will prove that they can help to brighten the web of life. You know, how many incarnations will we have during the age of Aquarius? Well, you know, it's impossible to estimate. It all depends, the timing depends on us, but certainly a number of them. And in producing more effective spiritual living among man, among human beings, as members or aspiring members of the new group of world servers, and by the way, that's going to be one of our new programs. We're really going to focus on group work and the new group of world servers. We find that the world servers are meant to produce exactly that, more effective spiritual living among human beings. So when DK, you know, sometime it might be good if you have the Alice Bailey CD-ROM, which hopefully you do have. It would be, a good thing to look up the number 2025. There are X number of references there. Let me just tell you how many references there are without getting into it, you know. And I think 14 references only. And yet surrounding those 14 references are some very interesting prophecies and statements about what must be completed by that year. Now, will they be completed? These demands, these requirements, we just don't know yet. But take your CD-ROM, and we may even have a compilation on 2025. And our compilations these days, by the way, no longer can be accessed from Yahoo groups. We have to have them, and we do have them on Constant Contact. But I myself don't really know how to get at them, but I think that's something that BL would know a lot more about. Yeah,
go ahead. They're on www.makara.us. You look at the top line menu and you'll see the page for the compilations.
Okay, that's great. That's great, because we did a lot of work on compilations over the years, and when suddenly Yahoo Groups disappeared, you know, I had my heart in my mouth, you know, are we going to lose all that? But fortunately, our communications group was up on it and salvaged all this. Okay. So the problem of all disciples remains the same. And let's see, you know, you think too now, if you wish. And by the way, if you wish, you can, at this time, you can turn your you can turn your video on if you want to do that, and, you know, or not. But you're welcome to at this point, okay? So, and this problem, is it our problem? Is it your problem? Is it my problem? I know it's my problem, you know, and we can estimate whether it is for all of us. And this is to live simultaneously the acutely sensitive inner life of the pilgrim upon the path of life. Remember when the pilgrim, or an aspect of the monad, goes forth on its journey, it is representing the monadic plane, and it's on a divine pilgrimage. All of us are on a pilgrimage, excuse me. And when we awake in a far country, as the prodigal son, we are really the pilgrim, and we will be returning home eventually. That word acute, DK doesn't use it so much. When he describes the third ray, he has a name for it. It's a beautiful name, I think, the acute energy of divine mental perception. That's what he calls this, the third ray, which along with the sixth ray gets a bad rap, you know, but anyway, we all have our foundation, the builder of the foundation, on that acuity of mentality. So can we live this acutely sensitive inner life of the pilgrim on the path of life and of a human being in the world of human events? And how well do we handle that? Well, the masters have an even more difficult task, because they have to live a far more acute life within the cosmic ethers, many of them on the Buddhic and some on the Atmic plane, and still manifest in the three worlds where things to them are truly stifling. To live the group life of the pledged disciple, and notice when you are truly a pledged disciple, it is the group life that you are beginning to live, and you are thinking always in terms of the group and not with any kind of isolative individualism. So to live the group life of the pledged disciple and the mass life of humanity. I keep on thinking about how beautifully the Dalai Lama seems to identify with the mass of people. Of course, he does have the sun in Cancer, you know, which is a sign helping to identify with the mass consciousness. He has so much harmony as well in his chart, and as far as I know, and the charts that I've been able to understand of his, he has Libra rising, and that will help to fulfill his own spiritual destiny through the medium of a controlled personality. Scorpio comes in there very much as the controller of the personality through the mind, and at the same time, to participate fully in the life of humanity upon Earth, that this is no easy task. So I just want to kind of, underline this, or if not underline, highlight. So we, what I've written here is that we become on this planet, this is our name when we graduate from this particular planetary school. Adjudicators, that those who can truly judge between the pairs of opposites, because we have embodied the pairs of opposites. So if you've moved, and all of us have, into the hall of learning, at the very least, we know that the pairs of opposites begin to appear. So, and again, we need a triangle here. We need the higher of the pairs of opposites, the lower, and we need the bridge between. We have a threefold apparatus which helps us on this ladder of consciousness and ladder of effective action to participate in both worlds. It's a kind of a triangle. Now let's see. So here is BL telling us, having looked something up here. Wait a second. Let me get this straight. From Michael Crow to everybody, that's the link to all the compilations. Okay. And I'd like to copy that, the link to all the compilations. And all right, that's one thing. And then further, BL is saying, thanking Michael for that, and then further amplifying that there are two references to, there are in the whole book, all of the books, there are 14, but maybe this is in astrology, and two references to 2025. One is on astrology, and the other is the astrological key.
Those are two documents in the compilations.
Okay, in the compilation, okay. Oh, very good, very good. We have more than we can ever absorb, do we not? Okay, so this is all compilations. Sometimes I have to copy these things because they might otherwise disappear. Okay, now, where am I? Here. All right, let's go on a little. We have, he says, and I'm going to make it bigger so we can all see better, I think. We have completed what I felt possible to communicate anent the science of triangles. And let's just say that although that is so, there's a lot of references. Now, Starling Hunter has been the most devoted student I know concerning triangles. It just seems to be the very center of his academic life, which is considerable. And so he's gathered different compilations and references, and we'll be dealing with them. I think he has a book out in several volumes called The Compass of Light, something of that nature. We have completed, says the Tibetan, what I felt possible to communicate anent the science of triangles, a science which concerns the entire subjective pattern of manifestation, and the significance of which is closely interrelated with the trinity of manifestation, and we're always running into that Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Mother, you know, or we're running into Shiva, Vishnu, Brahma, or we're, you know, running into will, love, intelligence, trinities all over the place, and the science of triangles intimately related to those trinities that, you know, they used to fight wars over whether the Trinity existed or not. You were either a Unitarian believing maybe that it didn't, or you were a Trinitarian believing that it did. So underneath the Trinitarian science is this science of triangles. And let's remember that although we can't really study it right now, some of the cosmic sources have for their etheric nature interlocking circles or spheres, and they've gone even beyond etheric triangles. It's a still more rounded out design that functions through them etherically. Another name for this science is the science of etheric structure or substance. You know, and just the way Michael Stacy is making this huge work on law as found in the Tibetans' books, many laws, does he say over 400, I think, there we could do that with the word science of. I don't know whether we have or not, but there are various kinds of sciences, and it would be interesting to consider what DK considers to be a science. So the science, but for our purposes, and what will bring sacredness into our life, is an understanding and application and participation in this science of etheric structure or substance. So that being so, that science deals with, and here's another trinity, life, quality, and appearance, and you recognize those, don't you, as the three aspects of divinity. The word life is sometimes problematic because we are wondering here whether he's talking about pure being or whether he's talking about will, quality, and appearance. So the term life seems to do a double service, representing both being and the will particularly. So it's the will, quality, and manifestation. Okay, but anyway, that science deals with life, quality, appearance, about which he says a great deal in Esoteric Psychology, Volume 1, okay? In the three worlds of divine purpose and will. In the three worlds of divine purpose and will. And for that reason, all I can do in this treatise is to convey to you certain, quote, seed thoughts, which at some future date will blossom forth as the basic science of relations. I have always considered, although it's listed variously in the beginning of the Esoteric Astrology book, that the science of relations is really, indeed, in the relational world, the most fundamental of all the sciences. Now, when we study identification as being, we're entering into something very different. We're entering into the science of non-relations. We would like to prove the non-relationship of all things and instead their identicality rather than their relational interactions. Both are true, of course. Okay, so we've been talking about interrelated sciences here of triangles, etheric structure, the science of relations, etc. Now let's go on a little more because I think I will not maybe have the time to get very far into the kinds of questions I wanted to ask you, but at least maybe we can complete this a bit. The subjective relation will be both vertical and horizontal, particular and universal, specific and general. Well, in any case, horizontal relations, let's give an example. If I say Aries, Leo, Capricorn, for instance, that's a horizontal relation. If I say something like this, vertical, I will do Great Bear, Leo, Saturn. That is a vertical relationship. You see that, don't you? Those are sources of energy on three different levels. As far as the particular and universal, the specific and general, we'd have to see what he means by that. With the present mental equipment of humanity, and that's ours, right? Sometimes he says some not so flattering things about we aspirants. With the present mental equipment of humanity, all that is possible for man to grasp is to grasp certain facts and vaguely sense, vaguely, certain intuitive implications and ideas. Such is the difference in the consciousness of a master compared to us who are, you know, aspirants seeking to truly walk the path as disciples and probationary initiates. Later, he will perceive intuitively the underlying structure of ideas and sense the basic synthesis which life itself contains. And we've talked quite a bit about articulated, or I'll correct that, relational synthesis. Articulated or relational synthesis. There is also what we might call non-articulated and non-relational synthesis, which has to do with the ground of all being, or, you know, the factor of being itself. Therefore, says the Tibetan, beyond what I have given you, you cannot go today, but we can certainly investigate what he's given us and come to a deeper understanding of that, and perhaps implications will arise for us which, without very focused study, would not have dawned upon our consciousness. But they will if we give it the proper study. So the intuition here reveals the great and basic science of relations, not as we imagine relations to be, as we reason that relationships are, using our limited mental faculties, but actually as they are revealed by pure reason. So I'll put that in the pure reason of the Buddhic plane. Now, the war is going on when he's writing much of this, and in the 30s, you know, it was written as Available lesson sets for students over a period of time, and then gathered together and published together, even though its giving out took a long time. But in the aftermath of the war, will change all this. And certainly many of us have lived through the aftermath of the second phase of the Great War. And, you know, another triangle. We're in World War III right now, but it's a psychological phase, we hope. Once there is a measure of nervous release from strain, and you know how it is, you can even sense it today in the United States with people so preoccupied about the destiny of democracy within the states and within the world. And it does grab the nervous system and produces a kind of strain because we're in the phase of tension. The Trinity that the new group of world servers has to attend to is crisis, tension, emergence. Well, we're certainly not in the state of emergence, and the tension is causing strain. Once there is a measure of nervous release, he's talking about the war now, and once the swing of the world movement has again stabilized, because this war, that war, I think, in which many of us participated, has been destabilizing. So once the swing of the world movement has again stabilized, humanity will transcend itself, will transcend its present condition. And certainly even today, when you look at the mass consciousness and how easily wrongly motivated it becomes by those who manipulate the mass consciousness, the demagogues, we know a transcendence is necessary. And I would, if I wanted to put that transcendence into triangular terms, I would say, and maybe you would too, Cancer. Oh, how about that? Leo, Aquarius. Well, we're certainly not in Aquarius yet, except for the more superficial aspects of it, which can be just as bad as the superficial aspects of any sign. But anyway, we look forward to this transcendence, and during the coming centuries and in the decades ahead, we will work for it, will we not? And every step towards a higher initiation, and all true disciples are preparing for initiation, is a kind of self-transcendence. And I'm going to say initiation is self-transcendence, if I could only spell. Okay, the spiritual values will emerge more clearly. The fact of the inner world will no longer be questioned, as man's increased sensitivity enables him to respond to higher impression and inner inspiration. DK said, human beings will see the light within others and know that initiation is for them justifiable. We won't have to be told, oh, this is a high soul and this is not, and so forth. We will see for ourselves, especially as the ethers increase their vibration and as our sensitivity you know, I get little notes on the side, you know, it's the ongoing American drama. Excuse me. I may live in Finland, but there's so much that we keep with us in terms of where we are born. So anyway, we will see for ourselves. And man's his ability to live the vertical life of the spirit and the horizontal life of relationship will grow with each decade, you know. And so we have the cross as the symbol. So many people hate the cross, you know. They just identify it as a purely Christian symbol, when in fact it's a great cosmic symbol, which offers us a deep understanding of our own progress. So we'll at some point be studying the charts of the crosses, and we have to think of the synthesis which comes eventually from simultaneously living the vertical and horizontal life let's just say, in the state of synthesis. Okay. Well, there is a bit more, but I think maybe that's enough for the moment. I don't want to rush through. And there is more here. And then these questions that I have for you, such as, we'll reach that. We'll reach the application of triangles in the present world crisis, and what you think, what kinds of triangles would be useful for humanity to apply. Meanwhile, I will just, this was program 91, and I assume that our next program will be, I suppose, a morning program. Anyway, we'll try to be clear with you about what it's going to be, because I think we made a mistake. And this should have been a morning program. But anyway, so this is...
The next program is identified as being 6 a.m. GMT. Oh,
no, I meant the... Yeah, thank you, Michael. But I meant the next program, which is on the science of triangles. That's okay. That's the one I was after. And I think we made a mistake somewhere there. So... next
no,
program.
We didn't make.
Okay. Oh, we didn't make a mistake. Okay. The voice of the silence has spoken. Anyway, next program. Six, AM GMT, program 92. And we'll just continue, and I assume to you, and I hope...
Michael, because we were postponing so many times.
I'll
that's
just say
why
probably.
We have this, and next week, Michael, listen, yep. What did yep. you write there? Next that week, it, we do not have for a few weeks, because then we have also full moon coming. So right there, that we will have
to be announced. What?
On the 10th of February, it is scheduled. If we do not change that, that is the thing that we are now working on the schedule.
Okay. TBA to be announced, and probably on the 10th of February. Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep going with this. We'll keep going until we have completed. Meanwhile, be on the lookout for triangles which can be applied to humanity right now. Actually, I've asked you a question, since there's going to be such a long time before we meet again. I've asked you a question which may be of interest to you. And if you note that at the present moment, we have a very strong Capricorn presence. This for a little while yet, we've just come out. We'll have Pluto in Capricorn. We have Saturn and Jupiter for a while in Aquarius, and we have Neptune in Pisces. Now, this is a remarkable triangle just on general principles. Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, with the planets contained within them. What can this give humanity, or should it give humanity, if functioning in a triangular manner now? So think about that, because Pluto will still be in Capricorn when we next get together. Saturn and Jupiter will still be in Aquarius, and Neptune will still be in Pisces, where it's been a long time. And, you know, there are many implications to this triangle that I'm pointing out right now. But I'll bet you don't see it because I've not been careful enough to show it to you. But here they are. Pluto, Capricorn, Saturn, Jupiter in Aquarius, and Neptune in Pisces. Even though these are, you know, sort of like 30 degrees apart or not even that, they are a triangle. What are they bringing now, good or bad? That's the kind of thing we want to be aware of. Okay. Now, let me go back and ask if there are any questions or if anybody would like to offer a thought. You can do that, and you can certainly, if you wish, I think you can, make yourself visible. You know, this is kind of the classroom part of our work, if you wish. Unless Michael Crow, unless there is some reason they can't make themselves visible. But are there any?
No, they should be able to. I turned it back on, so they should be able to start their video if they choose to.
Well, here's some appreciation, BL. And so they're thanking you for being a master organizer. I really have to agree with that, of all the programs on Mercara. She's doing a fantastic job to, you know, keep things visible, current, and in order. And the recordings for the Science of Triangles meetings are from Michael Crow, has given us this. So we can find those if you want to get caught up or if you want to review anything. Let's see. Okay, Science of Triangles link. Good. All right. Now let's see where we are. Does anybody want to say anything about this science of triangles? What we've discussed so far today. Let's take a little review of that. And our review tells us that there are horizontal triangles. There are, vertical triangles. As a matter of fact, in your own life. And let's see, I think I'm, okay, and I'm going to put this down. In your, sorry, just get rid of that. You have an important vertical triangle. So let's look at this. In your own life, an important vertical triangle is the rising sign, and sun sign and moon sign. That is one of the most important vertical triangles that you will find in your own chart. Okay. Another one, another vertical triangle in your own chart, if we can rise so high, okay, another vertical triangle is sign opposite, sun sign, the ascendant, and then the sun sign. That is another vertical triangle. Now, when it comes to horizontal triangles, we'll look for three zodiacal signs or three planetary relationships. And every one of us can pick out what we would like to work with. Now, obviously, we must work with our rising sign, sun sign, and moon sign. That gives the direction in life. We have to kind of depend upon that moon sign, but not go overboard with it, because it can be the prison of the soul. We're likely to be living in the sun of probability, which is our sun sign. And we really want to live to the higher aspects of what's called the sun, even though it's the rising sign, the sun of possibility. Now, how many of us are really living up to our possibilities, inherent in the chart and inherent in the level of development that we have achieved? We have a great guide in esoteric astrology. And, you kind of wonder how the Tibetan could have assembled all this knowledge. I mean, after all, isn't he a Tibetan monk? Just like the Dalai Lama says, I'm just a Tibetan monk, okay? But, he's had two European incarnations of significance, and he certainly worked with Pythagoras. We're not quite sure about what that other incarnation may be. But he has been in the West and understands that kind of astrology too. The difficulty with these high souls is that they know so much that they have to choose what they will offer us, because they don't have time to give it in the time-space world, and we don't have the ability to absorb it. Ah, yes, right, to absorb. We don't have yet that ability. So it's a very fine choice which they are making. Okay, are there anything that anybody would like to say? Because you can go to your name in the participants, and you can raise your hand, or sort of however it's done, you can unmute yourself and you can speak. Usually we have been doing this in a different way with GoToWebinar platform. But now for the first time, we're using the Zoom platform for the Science of Triangles. But if not, Then
Joe has something. She just posted.
Okay. Joe has posted something. Okay, good.
Do you want me to read it?
Sure.
Planets in exoteric, esoteric, and hierarchical impacts are interesting, specifically Mercury in Virgo, in Aries, and in Scorpio.
Yes, that is one that one would want to interpret. You know, looking at this, you know, I'm just off the top of my head, just to say that Mercury in Virgo is sometimes called the sun of mind, but it gives a great ability exoterically to understand relationships within the world of form and within the dense physical body of the planetary logos, which involves the lower 18 subplanes, and even the dense physical body of the solar logos, which involves the lower 21 subplanes. So it's sharp when it comes to understanding manifested and formal relationships. In Aries, that Mercury is related to the idea that Aries is the birthplace of ideas. And many of the new impulses, which are ideas whose time has come, will be found streaming forth from Aries. And so the progress through new ideation and new thought is found there. Now, when it comes to Scorpio, there are many functions. But we can see already the esoteric meaning of Mercury in Aries. It has entered receptivity to the new above the personality level. With Scorpio, again, we have the factor of control. That's one of the things that is operating, and the deglamorization of the lower personality. But from a higher point of view, it rules the entire Buddhic plane. For humanity, the planet which is most Buddhically inclined is Mercury, and Scorpio is the sign of the zodiac, which rules, in terms of the creative hierarchies, the Buddhic level. So there we have a chance really to enter the true world of intuition via the hierarchical ruler. There's a spread of functions. And by the way, not all of these functions have to be, you know, bold and beautiful. Some of them can be petty. They can be inappropriate. They can be deceitful. You know, I'm looking at all the things that Mercury can be negatively through its misleading rulership of the personality, you know, because it is the scheming planet and it has a lot of the third ray connected with its personality, and it's let Maya flourish and deception rule. So Mercury and Scorpio can be that. But when we look at it hierarchically, it brings us right into the soul's view, which has to gaze upon the Hydra from a particular intuitive perspective, and through that perspective, cause the Hydra to lose its energy, to wilt, and to die. So the defeat of the Hydra is coming in very much under Mercury in Scorpio, with some spiritual progress, Mercury in Aries, and some, you know, really scientific understanding connecting Mercury with Virgo in the world of objectivity. I mean, you know, you could, you know, write a whole chapter on these things, as no doubt you have thought. Joe, do you want to say something about it?
Yes, Michael, as you're speaking, That was beautiful. What you asked about us looking at triangles, either horizontally or vertically, but then I threw in a single planet that, I don't know, would you call that a triangle? Because it's operating on three different levels.
Yeah, you could call it three different levels of function, I think. And obviously a triangle is existing there between the planets, between the sign in which the planet is found. There's definitely a triangle there. And it's both horizontal and vertical in terms of, see, you have the fundamental triangle of what you call undeveloped or ordinary, exoteric, esoteric, and hierarchical. That is a vertical triangle, and somehow we are getting that verticality out of Mercury in the position of these three otherwise horizontal signs of the zodiac. So we're giving it a vertical triangular reading, let's put it like that. And
right, essentially what I heard you say was that the triangle itself would be Virgo, Aries, Scorpio. That's horizontal.
That is a horizontal, but in as much as it is interfacing with exoteric, esoteric, and hierarchical, it has a vertical triangular interpretation that can be attached to it successfully, I think.
I have one more piece to add,
and
that is the actual placement of the planet Mercury in the specific chart will make a great deal of difference in how one reads the impact at each of those levels, exoteric, esoteric, and hierarchical.
Yeah, I think, well, now you're getting into the details that
a
lifelong astrologer would do, you know? Yes, so...
Yeah.
So that is certainly possible. Every chart has to be taken on its own merits. And we also have to think about, and this is really important, what is the condition of the form upon which these energies are impinging? So, you know, people can have similar charts, but their form, the form of their personality, of their egoic lotus, whatever, is different. And so the effect of the impingement is also different. So
yes,
we really have to study the person involved, the group involved, the nation involved, all on its own terms, because we can't say it will always be the same. You know, if you ever go to worldometer, it's some kind of statistical program which shows you how many people are being born or dying across the whole earth. And it is rapid. You know, let's just say that even in the same hospital, the same city, whatever, there are people who are being born with very similar horoscopes, but they have different degrees of experience and their form has been lifted to a different level. In comparison with the form of others. And obviously, although we may have similar impinging of the energies going on, the form will take them in a different way and respond in a different way. And without that, we just cannot read with accuracy. You know, there's just so many things that tell you how you are, you know how it goes. On the internet, you're a Virgo, you're an Aries, this, that, and the other. But what is the level of development of the individual? That is key. And without DK said, look, if you're going to do any work with anybody of a healing or astrological nature, study them for 5 hours. I mean, okay, and that's probably just the beginning.
Wow.
And before he worked with the members of his group, He studied them. He knew what was going on rheologically and astrologically, but he had to study what they've done with their experience. And this is where people don't understand. You know, you try to ask them questions about their life, and they say, oh, I thought you were an astrologer and you could tell me. Well, you know, you can't just do that and hope for accuracy. Right on page 222, 223, it's in the Scorpio chapter, Joe.
Okay.
He says, make sure you know what is the ray of the person through close study. Uh-huh. And then you can set up a more accurate chart if you do that. 222 or 223, usually I have it underlined in esoteric astrology. Let's see if I can find it. I know we can't go on too long here because I do. I have it absolutely in blue and unreadable. Perfect. here. But let me change it to yellow. I was so wanting to be color appropriate. You know what I mean?
I do.
But the color appropriateness just didn't do for readability. So let's see here what I can do very quickly. Okay, this is there. Apply. Well, anyway, now I can read it because for some reason it's white and it's blue, and I discovered that later. This brings me to 2 points, and I'll get it out here to show it. This brings me to 2 points about which I would like to speak. In dealing with the horoscope of the personality and with the average non-aspiring man, so we have to determine that, right? The astrologer should endeavor to discover the personality ray from a study of the character, of the physical indications, and they exist, you know, physiognomically, of the emotional qualities, of the type of mind, and the nature of the environment. He will then be able to lay out a far more useful chart with the orthodox planets ruling the life. In the horoscope of the disciple, he should do the same, you know, try to discover the ray, endeavoring to discover the ray of the soul. And by the way, it's not going to come together so readily or be so obvious as the horoscope of the personality. The soul ray only sets its mark and emphasizes its qualities and nature in the case of advanced people. And when that emerges clearly, note those words, emerges clearly, the man is obviously a disciple, and the esoteric planets, and not before, will then govern his chart. Having determined the ray of the man undergoing tests in Scorpio, the astrologer can then place the other rays in relation to him and his probable experience. So he's giving some really important hints about how to do spiritual astrology. And I guess my point is, study the individual before the chart can really be erected in a manner which is as useful as possible. I've always found this to be a good reference.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You bet. The end of 222, 223. Okay. Is there anybody else that has anything? Because we've got to now get ready for our American Vigil. And well, good. Okay, so, you know, we'll Atuya and Anne and, well, to a smaller extent myself, are working on the schedule. And there will be new offerings, and we will do our best to get these offerings to you so you can participate as you might wish. And BL is putting our work together up on Makara, and you can review these things, and you can let maybe some other people know that they are there so they too can participate. Meanwhile, I want to thank you all for showing up to this work. And in about another 40 minutes, we'll be working on Zoom with the American Vigil and all the imminent dangers which are occurring under these Pluto return conditions in the horoscope of the United States. Okay, so let's see if there's anything here. Light and love to everybody. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for your participation. And BL is saying go to MoriaFederation.com and you will see the weekly schedule that I post once and until you set the schedule. Fantastic. Great. All right. One day I'm going to learn the ropes here, okay?
In the future, we will be having an interactive calendar in a couple months. Yeah,
that too. And that can even do updating, I was surprised to learn. But okay, so we'll say goodbye for right now for this science of triangles, and we'll get into the practical side of it, what triangles are operative now, and what can they give to you, and what can they give to humanity. Okay, so I'll turn the recording off, and Michael will stop this program for which he is the host. And